Blog Talk Radio.
Cat the other day, and he was like, man, I really want to come to Christ, but I got to clean my life up first, get my sins together. I told him, I used to think that way too. I thought I had to change myself before I could come to Christ, but Christ changed me. Let me tell you my story, it starts like this. It's 5:46 in the morning, tossing and turning, chest burning, sermons in my head keep reoccurring, having visions in my head of a kid, crying at the feet of the Father for all the wrong things that he did. Now I'm sweating in my sheets, can't sleep, my mind keeps telling me I'm 6 feet deep, don't remind me. Even though I'm still alive, I can't tell, the way I'm living my life, I feel I'm going to hell. God, they telling me I should accept you, that you had to lead the world, cause the world left you. Reason I can't change, like a mystery to me. So I make believe there really is a heaven for a G. Even though they say you love the world so much, you shed your blood, God. I feel I'm too messed up for love. They tell me come as I am, but I smell like smoke. My whole life's full of sin, cause it's all I know. The Bible told me that you died for my sins. If I believe in Christ, to save me from the end. But I'm scared to ask you to save me. My heart's so evil, I got thoughts that's full of hatred.
Dedication.
I'm not gonna tell everybody who that was. If you are up to speed on gospel rap, you should know who that was. Very, very, very oldie but goodie, right? Still hasn't gone out of style. For those of you who follow that particular artist, welcome everybody to the LATR Radio Network. I'm Darren Chapman. How are you in this extremely hot and dangerous heat here in Philadelphia? It's been like, over 100 degrees. Feels like over 100 degrees last couple days. We still got a few more, I guess, according to the weather report. So I hope it's wherever you're at, it's nice and cool, right? We are sponsored by the EYIC, the acronym, Equally Yoked in Christ Incorporated, nonprofit, dedicated. We're here for a reason, dedicated to Christian relationships, kingdom building, biblical education, and ministry networking. If you follow us on Facebook, on our community page, you can go on in the search box and type Love at the Root. That's L-O-V-E, Love at the Root. You see that we do a lot of that. A lot of that networking stuff, a lot of that building stuff, a lot of that love stuff. This is what we do. This is what it's all about. At the end, if I go backwards, in the middle, in the beginning, and then take it back the other way to the middle and to the end of the day, this is what we do, folks. Love at the Root. Check us out on Facebook. We are talking about tonight. Let's see. Consecrating self in marriage. This is I'm going to try to make this as easy as I can explain it, you know, because a lot of us, especially on Facebook, you know, we want to jump on online. We want to jump into an arena where we want to hear new and exciting things that thrill us, you know, about relationships. You know, we want to hear stuff we've never heard before, and we want to hear stuff that tantalizes us. And, you know, you find these people online, they start coming up with these new cliches. Every now and then, someone will come up with this new cliche, and then everybody online is using this one word or this new two or three word cliche that relates to some type of relationship or marriage or dating or, you know, whatever. And this is not what the gospel is about, folks. This is not entertainment. We're talking about studying to show thyself approved. We're talking about biblical education. We're talking about scripture. We don't go into scripture. We don't tune into our pastors. We don't tune into our teachers so that we can get the next best cliche about relationships. We tune in because we want to learn. And whatever that we're learning, we should be able to pull out somewhere between Genesis and Revelation. Mind you, the Canaan is closed. So therefore, all that we listen to, all that we listen to from the teachers, all that we teach as teachers, can already be found in the Canaan. Anything before that, anything outside of that, beyond the end of that, outside of that, is not scripture. The Lord has given us all that He wanted us to know for this particular dispensation in time, for this particular life, and between Genesis and Revelation. So we should always be looking in between those books, not for something that is new that's coming out of someone's mouth, whether it's a pastor, prophet, priest, pope, whoever, you know, that we can't go back in between Genesis and Revelation to confirm. Okay, so basically I just went around the block and giving contrast between scripture that draws itself out, or those of us who draw scripture out from scripture, opposed to those of us who speak scripture, but we're actually drawing out our own eisegesis, and then it becomes fanciful. And those of us who know the word, when we run into teachers like this, when we run into people who speak on relationships in this way, we instantly know what type of false rhetoric it is that we're hearing. And if we're serious about our relationships, we're not going to settle with just words, no matter how fanciful that play into our emotions, when there's something more of concern regarding our relationships, which is the reason why many of us tune in, which is the reason why many of us go to the midweek Bible studies, to Sunday worship, period. And that is to get to the root as to what's going on in our individual lives and our relationships with each other, our relationship with God, so that we can get it all straight and back on track again. Amen. All right. So, consecrating self in marriage. Once again, thank you for tuning in. If you want to call in, if you have maybe somewhere in the past, maybe it was yesterday, I don't know, you have given a little talk, a little teach, a little speech about this particular topic, consecrating thyself, consecrating self, and consecrating self in marriage, and you want to give a little word about it, please do call in. Here's the number. It's 713, area code 955-0441. For those of you in the chat room, please type in the chat box. If you have a question, I'll try to come back and read your question, see if we can get an answer to it. If for any reason, due to technical difficulties, if the sound goes out and you can no longer hear my voice, type it in the chat and let me know, so that way we can try to work on that as well. But as far as what I come to understand, everything is working properly at this time. Consecrating marriage, will it be grace motivated? Talking about consecrating self in marriage. Consecrating marriage, will it be grace? You know grace, right? Grace? Okay. Will it be grace motivated or merely behavioral modification? Now, we have to think about this, okay? Because there are a lot of marriages out there where both spouses are looking at each other and they're telling each other that they are consecrated to each other. And one couple over here to the left means that in a way, the whereas though, it's from a spiritual root. It's by the grace of God that they have latched on to the understanding, to the spiritual, to the root understanding of what consecration is, from the biblical understanding of what that is. And then from there, their behavior towards each other acts out based on that biblical root understanding. Okay? So their behavior in that marriage acts out based upon the biblical understanding, which gives off the influence, which activates the physical interaction in marriage by the grace of God with the biblical understanding of consecration. Couple over to the right, they're just going through the whatever. They're just going through the act. They're going through the it's behavioral modification. In other words, they're saying, look at me, look at our behavior towards each other, and on the outside it may show like they're consecrated to each other, but in actuality it's just behavioral modification of what they either don't care to understand, or what they can't understand, or what they think they understand and they don't understand of what the root definition or the root matter of biblical consecration is. So in other words, it's a behavioral modification where they're acting out outwardly what seems like to be a biblical understanding of consecration in marriage, but in actuality, it's not. So it won't last. It's an imitation. It's based off of flesh and emotions, and it's not a gift. It's not by grace. It's not by the power of the word. It's by act of flesh. It's whimsical according to emotion. It's rocky. So this is the type of marriage we look at, and it's rocky. You don't know which way it's going to go. One minute they're crying, one minute they're laughing, one minute they're unsure about themselves individually, one minute they're unsure about themselves corporately and jointly, and one minute they're okay, and one minute they have certainty, and then as soon as you blink into their eye, they're ready to jump back off the boat again, and that's that behavioral modification based off of not by God's grace, but based off of flesh and emotion that's driving the marriage. So flesh and emotion is the root, is the consecrated root of the marriage on the right here, and then over on the left, I'm just giving an example. Over on the left, we have a couple who, by the grace of God, understands the biblical understanding of consecration is rooted in Christ, and basically their marriage is unshakable, regardless of what comes through the marriage, regardless of the tears and emotions, regardless of the happy tears or the sad tears. It doesn't matter. What hits that marriage, what doesn't hit that marriage, there is foundation, and the foundation is not based off of flesh and emotions. It's not based on individual intellect. It's seeking God's way. It is seeking God's word. It is seeking the center of the relationship, which is Jesus, and always finding him there. That's what keeps the marriage solid. So as all of this formulates, when you have all of these components and all of these ingredients, then you look at the word consecrate, and you can say, well, individually it starts with what? Always starts with us individually, right? And then the husband and wife come together corporately, jointly, and then they combine what they already are, or who they're already consecrated to, what their foundation as far as consecration is, consecration is what they're already standing on, and then they combine that with both husband and wife, and now it's not like it's a double ply, it's still the same word, it's still the same grace, it's still the same foundation, but you have chose to cord that with your spouse. Okay. So basically, within the first 15 minutes or so of the broadcast, I basically just, in a roundabout way, given both sides of the picture of what this consecrating self in marriage, just a summary view is about. But we're going to get a lot deeper into it. Once again, if you want to call in to tonight's broadcast, if you have anything that you'd like to say about consecrating self and marriage, maybe you're married right now and you have no clue. No one has ever told you about the word consecrate and how that applies not only to marriage but applies to yourself as far as a Christian. Well, you're going to get the answer tonight for sure. But if you know a little something about what we're talking about and you want to call in, please do. Here's the number again. It's 713, area code 955-0441. Once again, that's 713-955-0441. Okay? And this is the LATR Radio Network, the acronym for Love at the Root, the Christian Relationship Ministry on Facebook, online. Okay? So let's talk about the root of consecration. Okay, so that way we can get a better understanding as we go down the block here, and we can then look at ourselves and our marriage, our relationships, and we can try to we can say, okay, now I see how this plays out. Now I see where this word fits in. Now I see where this word has not been fitting in, and I need to get it in there. Okay? So, the root, or should I say the basis, if we flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, specifically 14 and 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, here, the scripture clearly shows us that the constraining power of the Lord's love, right, is the basis for God's children to live unto Him who died for them and has been raised. Okay? So, this is where we're going to start as the basis of consecration. Okay? And you're going to see as we go on how this plays out. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, it shows us the constraining power of the Lord's love, okay, which is the basis for God's children, us Christians, to live unto Him, who's Him? Jesus, who died for us, who's us? Us, you and me, Christians, and has been raised. So, we live unto the Lord because He is constrained, or we live unto the Lord because we are constrained by the Lord's love. So, and if we look at the root language of constrained, it's translated into pressed on from all sides. Pressed on from all sides. Now think about this as I'm explaining this. Think about this in terms of marriage. Think about this in terms, obviously, if you're not married and you're single, your individual walk with Jesus. Okay? Pressed on from all sides, meaning tightly confined on all sides, meaning to be tightly bound and wrapped up. Now let's go back to love. Okay? Love bounds us up. We want love in our relationships. We want love in our individual, in our single life with Christ. We want love in our marriage life with Christ. We want love to bound us up so much that we cannot run away. Now keep in mind the word consecration as we're moving along with this, okay? When a person is in love, we have a sense of bondage. And I don't mean like bondage in a negative way. When I say bondage, I mean like bound. Like when we fall in love, we have a sense of being bound by that love. It's like we can't run away from it when we're in love. We're bound by that love. We're chained by that love. That's what I mean by bondage. Okay? So in light of Jesus, we are bound by Him. We have no way out. He died for us. We should live unto Him yesterday, today, forevermore. Hence, love is the basis of consecration. So, already, we come to understand that if you're if you say to yourself that you're single and you're a Christian, but you can't find no love in your relationship with Jesus, then you need to think twice about you calling yourself a Christian. If you are in a marriage and you don't see any base, if you don't see any love in that marriage, then I can understand why you don't you may not understand what the word consecration means, because love is the basis of consecration. So therefore, because there are marriages, just because you're married doesn't mean that the basis of your marriage is love. And if the basis of your marriage is not love, then you're not consecrated in that marriage, because love is the basis of consecration. Follow me? Okay. So a man consecrates himself, or a woman. When I say man, I mean human beings. Mankind. A man consecrates himself to the Lord because of the Lord's love. So no one can consecrate himself unless he first touches the Lord's love. So none of us who say we are Christian, none of us can consecrate. Remember, love is the basis of consecration. None of us had the ability to consecrate ourselves to the Lord first, unless we were first touched by the Lord's love. Okay? This is why in marriage there can be no consecration unless you were first touched by love. This is why in marriage, if the foundation is anything else but love, wealth, emotions, beauty, intelligence, power, etc., then that's not biblical root consecration. Now, you may have all of those things that you're walking on as the foundation of your marriage, and you may enjoy that. You got plenty of money in your marriage, so you're enjoying that. You got plenty of power in that marriage. Both husband and wife have power positions, and so you're enjoying that. And because you're enjoying that, you're acting out in a way to where as though if the world looks at you, they say, wow, you know, they really got things going on. They're really, you know, stepping one by one. Each step is equal. You know, they're really, wow, look at that. But that's what we call behavioral modification. In other words, you are adjusting your behavior, you are modifying your behavior in a way to where as though the manifestation outwardly looks like it's motivated from the root of love, but actuality it's not. And this is the difference, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but this is the difference between relationships and even marriage relationships, where on the surface you can have two different married couples, and on the surface each married couple looks like they're both walking in blessing. They look like they're both walking in prosperity, and in they both look like they're walking in all that is good, right? But if you get down to the root, to the foundation of what fuels the outwardly show, I don't mean show as in, you know, it's a television show, I don't mean to make light of it, but if you get to the root of what is motivating them to walk in that marriage in such a way that whereas though we say, oh, that I want what they got, that marriage looks pretty good. Just because the marriage may look good on the outside doesn't necessarily mean that what you see on the outside of that marriage is motivated by biblical consecration, which is love. Because I can give a married couple that has a heart for greed $1 million, and they'll have a smile on their face. And I can give a married couple who has the heart of a Lord, a heart for the Lord, $1 million, and they'll have a smile on their face too. So you look at both marriage couples, and all you see is well, this one has a smile over here, this one has a smile over there, so it must be all good on both sides. No. One of them is smiling for the right thing, and one of them is smiling for the wrong thing. One of them is smiling because the foundation and the root, what consecrates that marriage at the root and at the foundation is something that is not of God, which is greed and covetousness and selfishness. And the other is blessing and prosperity and so on. So we must be clear, and I'm going to say this in a way to where as though I want you to really hear this. We must be really, really clear that we are those that are purchased by the Lord, being purchased with the highest price, that we are not of our own, individually or in marriage. Okay? Our Lord gave his life for us, and he even became the ransom to purchase us back to himself. So we are those who are purchased by the Lord. Because the Lord has redeemed us, we willingly lose our own freedom for him. We are no longer our own. We are the Lord's. So we must glorify God in our bodies, obviously, because we are not our own. We have been taught, we have been bought by the Lord with a price. The blood which the Lord shed on the cross is the price he paid. Therefore, as far as the Lord's right is concerned, we belong to the Lord. And if we belong to the Lord, and the Lord is love, at the center of relationships is love, that which is of God, then for the Christian, love has to be the basis for the consecration of our relationship. Okay? So, merely being constrained by love or acknowledging our legal right, so to speak, does not constitute consecration holistically. And let me explain this. After a person has been constrained by the Lord's love and has acknowledged his right, there's a further step that should be taken. And when you take this step will bring you to a new position. And then you will see the relationship start to look a different way. Through the Lord's constraining and based on his purchase, we separate ourselves from every other thing. Therefore, we live for and unto the Lord in our relationships. Let's put this in context of marriage. This is consecration. So, love is the basis of consecration. But then from there, okay, because merely being constrained by love, and this is what we want to be. We want to be constrained by love. Merely being constrained by love and merely having love as the basis of our consecration is not the whole ball. From there, we have to then take a further step, which brings our relationship into a new position, and that is we have to separate ourselves from everything that influences this love at the center, the basis of our consecration. We have to constrain ourselves and separate ourselves. We have to constrain ourselves by the Lord's love, and then we have to separate ourselves from everything that could hurt that relationship that is not of the same. This is the reason why if a man and a woman who are Christian, a man and a woman who are Christian and married do not mix and mingle with a man and a man or a woman and a woman who call themselves Christian and married. If I could just put it in that example. That's just one example. Okay? If anybody wants to call in, they can certainly do so. Here's and welcome. You're listening to the LATR Radio Network, Love at the Root. You can find us on Facebook by typing in Love at the Root on our in the search box, and that'll bring up our community page. Here's the number if you want to call in, 713-955-0441. All right, 713-955-0441. Folks are out here getting married, and they don't – I don't know if folks are thinking about this. I think folks have a – they have a whimsical or kind of fanatical understanding of what consecration means. I don't even really think if Christians really understand – a lot of Christians understand what consecration means in regards to their single walk. Once again, let's go back to the context. Will it be grace motivated or merely behavioral modification? So look at your life, look at your single life, look at your marriage life if you're married and you're listening right now, and you have to ask yourself, is it grace motivated or is it behavioral modification? Are you just going through the motions? Are you going through, you know, when the song is on, that good old song, you're just going through the motions when the song is on, but when the song cuts off, where are you at? As far as the chord that you're supposed to have, Darren, chord, what are you talking about? Well, we just brought out the fact that love is the basis. You can't have a consecrated relationship without love. And then you have to take it to the next step, which actually starts to shine your relationship because now you see it differently from others. And that is you have to separate yourself. You have to separate this consecrated love relationship that you have. You have to separate it from other relationships so that it's not tainted. And I just gave a good example of that. Okay, so consecration, the term consecration refers to the act of dedicating oneself to a specific purpose or intention. Okay, consecration refers to the act of dedicating oneself to a specific person or intention. It means to wholly dedicate yourself to something of greatest importance. Okay? Consecration, consecrate. Okay? It makes that thing holy. It makes it sacred. And this is why I said to understand the basis of consecration. And I think a lot of people understand the basis of consecration. They know it has to be love at the root, at the center, but then that's not enough. You have to then separate that relationship. You have to separate that holy marriage, that sacred marriage. You have to separate that your marriage from other marriages, even if it's Christian, from folks who are running around and sleeping with, you know, Sue, Adam, Charlie, Jill, and Jack. Down low. I didn't know down low. You have to separate yourself. If to keep your marriage holy and sacred, you have to constantly have love at the center foundation, Jesus, and then you have to constantly have that marriage, your marriage separated because it's holy and it's sacred, separated from other marriages. I don't care whether they're Christian or not. Other marriages that are doing that foolishness, or else you're going to be caught up. Okay, so we need to consider the spiritual roots, and I'm not going to take too much time into this. You can read it yourself, but consecration dates back as far as the Old Testament, of course. Okay, so when you get time, you can go back to some of the earliest biblical references, which is Joshua 3:5. You can go come on back up to 2 Corinthians 6:17. Of course, Romans 12:1-2. Okay. So, obviously, for those of us who are Christian, we understand that the Lord is calling humanity to be consecrated unto Him. So, and we also understand that the ability, I just mentioned this, but in so many words, I'll say it again, the ability to consecrate ourselves is only made possible by God. Okay, folks walk into marriage and they try to consecrate the marriage on their own. We're married now, so now the marriage is consecrated. It is by who? It's consecrated by a bank account. Oh, really? It's consecrated by my wife's beautiful looks. Oh, really? It's consecrated by my husband's handsome charm and his powerful job and his oh really? It's consecrated because no one ever made me feel this way before, and I feel kept, and I've never had such great sex before, and I've never had sex before, and now this is my first time I'm getting married, and now I'm having sex, and now I feel as though this relationship is consecrated more than any other relationship because it's the first relationship I've ever had sex in. Oh, really? See, so sex and money and beauty and power, none of these things consecrate a relationship. So we need to understand that because there's folks out here that walk into marriage every day, and it's these things that are at the root foundation of the marriage, and this is what consecration. This is what the definition of consecration is to them, to many married folks, even Christians. Okay? So only God has the power to transform a human into, in a human relationship, into something sacred. Sacred, holy. So, in a sense, God is consecrating you, consecrating that marriage, making you holy, making that marriage holy, once you decide to consecrate yourself to God. And, of course, you have to be saved to do that. Because God wants each person to live in God's image and likeness. And the only way that marriage is going to day-to-day look like God's image and both of you are going to look like God's image and His likeness and is if you're both, first and foremost, His children. God wants to dedicate each person to a sacred or consecrated life. So this applies to single and married, of course. So you need to dedicate your heart to God. To consecrate yourself is to what? One, is to answer God's call to spiritual consecration. This means making a conscious, willing decision to dedicate your soul, your mind, your heart, and your body to God. Now, this gets a little, not tricky, but this gets a little, once again, a little thrown off because single Christians meet up with each other and they get married. And when they were single, they were all about striving to willfully making a direct being very direct with their conscience and making a decision, a willful decision, to dedicate their soul, heart, mind, and body to God. But now when they get married, a lot of folks fall off of that. It's almost like they're dedicating their soul, mind, heart, and body to their spouse now instead of God. So we need to make sure that whether single or married, our dedication first with our soul, with our mind, with our heart, and with our body is first and foremost to God. And the decision must be one of will, it must be one of affection, and it must be one of intelligence, wisdom, knowledge. So only you can make this decision to consecrate yourself to this way. Now, when you do this, then when you're single and you walk in, when you're single and you're doing this, and then you walk into marriage doing this, then you will see the sweet taste of the marriage. It's almost like your single life has been amplified like a million times, because now you're doing it in marriage and you're doing it with your spouse. So it's like that bubble gum, double the flavor, double the funds, you know, something like that. So, you know, it's just amplified. So you're single, you're dedicating your soul, your mind, your heart, and your body to God. You walk into marriage, and now you're doing the same thing with your spouse, and it's amplified. So it's like on another level. So consecration is something that must be done voluntarily. So you need to ask yourself if you are truly dedicated to doing this, or are you just caving into some type of outward pressure, which is going to take you down the block to behavioral modification. Because only at the end of the day, only you and God, at the beginning and the middle, only you and God know your heart. So you should view your commitment to Christ as priority, not a secondary option or some type of passive experience. And because of that, you should be able to feel gratitude and love in your heart for God if your heart is ready to be consecrated to God. And I would suggest that you pray on that if you don't know what I mean. Because your heart has to be tender, just like your heart was tender. There's no way you could have came to be Christian and been born again if your heart was not tendered to be receptive to the gospel and to say yes to it eventually, right? Okay, so in a relationship, repentance is one of the first acts that you should undertake when you make a decision to consecrate yourself to God. So now we know that the basis of consecration is love, right? And then from there we know that Jesus at the center. And then from there we have to what? We have to separate ourselves from other relationships that are not holy and sacred and have Jesus in the center. Okay? Right? Because if we get too close to those relationships, they may influence our marriages. And then we wind up making decisions in our marriage that we don't want to. We got Christians who got people call themselves Christians, and they're part of swinger groups and swapping husbands and wives and all of this other stuff. You know, this is crazy stuff, right? Right? Because somebody planted a seed in your mind and said, well, you know, it's all about love, and we just loving each other, so we're gonna love and feel, and we feely touchy, and I'm gonna feely touchy on your wife, and you feely touchy on my husband, and it's all love, and now you're part of this groupie thing going on, and next thing you know, it's all hell. Okay, so love is the foundation of consecration, but that's not enough. It is enough, but then there's something else you must do, and that is, once again, love is the foundation, so it's sacred and it's holy. So now you must distance yourself from others who are not walking in that sacred and holy tradition act. I don't want to say tradition because it's a real life walk, so it's much more than a tradition. But you want to separate yourself a second. You want to go into repentance. Okay, the act of repenting involves the acknowledgement of your sins, okay, and the need for the salvation offered to you by Christ. Work out your own salvation. All right, so repentance is one of the first acts that you should undertake when you make the decision to consecrate yourself to God. If you are not saved, you need to be baptized. Of course, water baptism is an outward sign of inner consecration. I'll say that again. Water baptism is an outward sign of inner consecration. We don't get baptized. We don't get water baptized to be saved. We get water baptized because we already saved, and it's just an outward sign of our inner consecration. Okay? When you're in marriage, you want to make sure that you have the responsibility of protecting your spouse, especially your spouse's physical body, from being influenced by worldly things. I just mentioned a little bit about that. Drawing closer to God. Drawing closer to God. This is it works the same way in single life as it does in marriage. But in marriage you have more accountability. Why? Because it's more than just you. You have two people. We have a husband and a wife. So a human spirit always needs to drink from some source. So if you do not drink from a worldly source, then you must drink from a divine source. So drawing closer to God is part of consecration. You must always be drawing closer to God. In that marriage relationship, both of you must always be drinking from the divine source, because if you don't, you will drink from the worldly source. There is no other source. There's only divine and worldly. There's no in-between. There's nothing outside of that. Just like there's only saved and unsaved. So just as the body hungers for ways of the world, the spirit thirsts for the ways of God. So the more you train yourself to cave into the desire of your spirit, the easier it will become to continually turn to God. When you continually turn to God in your relationships and your marriage, then that consecrated marriage, that consecration is rock solid. It's going to be very hard for you to stumble and crack that marriage. Consecration is not, folks walk into marriage and they say, okay, now I'm married now. It's the honeymoon is over, it's done. So we just go on living this way, that way, whichever way. Okay, consecration is not a single one-time only decision. And I'm going to make this very practical. Your Christian walk is not a single one-time lifetime decision. And this is what I mean by this. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about salvation or being born again, because when you're born again, that only happens one time. But what I'm talking about is after you're born again as a single, you still have to live your Christian walk, right? Okay, so when you walk into marriage, you have to stay committed in the marriage. It's a way of your living. Just like in your single Christian walk, you have to stay consecrated to Jesus. And in a lot of ways in what I just mentioned so far in this broadcast. But in marriage, now you have to stay committed to, you keep on staying committed to Jesus, but now you have to stay committed to your spouse. So it's a way of living. So consecration is not a single one-time only decision. It is a way of living. It is a way of life. It is a way of living with Jesus when you are single. It is a way of living with Jesus when you are married, but now with your spouse. So when you make the decision to consecrate yourself, you must be prepared. You must be prepared. You have to prepare to continue pursuing God for the rest of your life. So even though you can, even though your consecration will never be complete, because you know you're not going to get but oh so close on this side of heaven, you're not going to see Jesus in totality. Let me put it that way. We won't see, he's our mystery. We won't see Jesus in totality until we get to the other side. So no matter how much we continue to consecrate ourselves in our relationships, in our Christian walk, single and marriage, it will never be complete while we're on this side. Of course, this obviously is textbooks. This is something that should have been learned in new beginners class. we will never achieve perfect righteousness. So even though we strive for our relationships to be consecrated, the consecration will never be complete on this side of heaven. Only on the other side of heaven, when we see the Lord face to face, and there we shall be, and we all hear, "Good and well done, thy good and faithful servant." Then now we're talking about complete consecration. Now we have achieved perfect righteousness. There's perfect righteousness in us right now. The Holy Spirit is our perfect righteousness. But as far as our mind, our actions, and our mind is not perfect. Our actions are not perfect. Our speech is not perfect. So therefore, our consecration cannot be perfect. So we're just drawing off of, and we're using the power from the love root. Love is consecration, right? The meaning, you can't be consecrated without love. So we draw from the power of love during our walk. During our life walk, to help us live the type of single life and married life that is most victorious as we can, according to Scripture, in our life with Jesus. So we are asked to make a commitment, and we're asked to actively pursue it. And once again, we stumble. But we get right back up. We get right back up on love. We don't get right back up on intellect. We don't get right back up on sex. We don't get right back up on money. We don't get right back up on our beauty. We don't get right back up on ourselves. We don't get right back up on our pastor. We don't get right back up on our mommy and daddy. We don't get right back up on our neighbor. We get right back up on love. We get right back up on Jesus. We get right back into the Spirit. We get right back in up into the Father. We get right back up into these things. And we need to know this, because in relationships we will fall. And one of the things that contributes to divorce today is that when people fall in relationships, especially marriage, they don't know what to get right back up on. And when you lose track, when you lose sight, when you lose vision, when you lose sight, when you lose vision, when you lose sight as to who to get right back up on, then you will never get right back up on anything to bring that relationship back to where it needs to be. That is kind of textbook. Okay. All right, so we're going to go to a commercial break. I'm going to give out the number again. And if you want to call in and just give, a word or two about what we're talking about tonight. Consecrating self in marriage. This isn't the easiest topic to discuss. And I'm trying to bring this out in a way that is very understandable to all. So hopefully... there are those who are listening to the broadcast tonight, and they're picking from wherever they need to pick from what you're hearing. Some of you may need all of this. Some of you may just need a little bit. But pick it wherever you can pick it from. And if you see there's an area that's absent in your relationships, and you can pick something from tonight's broadcast and fill it, because it is. It is Jesus written. It is Jesus founded. It is the foundation of God, of Jesus, of Christ, and what you're hearing, then fill it in there. Take it into prayer and ask the Lord where you need to place it in your relationships to fill any gaps. And of course, any gaps that we fill in our relationships, we want the root of this to be love. We want the root of this to be Jesus. We want the root of this to consecrate whoever we're with, so that there's no more gaps. There's no more cracks. It's like that glue that you see on TV. That you put this glue on anything and it holds together anything. Well, we need some Jesus glue, so to speak. Consecrating foundation, unbreakable. We need some Jesus glue. To consecrate the cracks and the holes that are in our relationships, so that we don't when we fall, so that we don't fall, and if we do fall off, surely we can fortify ourselves back into a sacred relationship again. We're going to a 41-second commercial break, and we will be right back. My name is Darren Chapman. If you have not visited our ministry online, it's called Love at the Root. Go on over to Facebook, type in the search box Love at the Root, which is our community page, and there you can listen to a few of our other broadcasts that we post up, like this one right now, which will be posted in about an hour. We have about an hour left. And it's just a whole bunch of good word and devotions over there. Love the Root, the community page. And just get blessed. Bless your relationships. Go on over there and read and take in. And eventually you will find yourself walking in such a way to where as though you're just not walking in a relationship of behavioral modification anymore. You're walking in a relationship that is truly consecrated to Christ. And when someone walks up to you and they say, well, you know, I heard about this word consecrate, you'll be able to explain it to them a little bit better if you don't know. Amen. All right, we will be right back in 41 seconds.
Man, I feel what you're saying, cuz, but, man, ain't nobody gonna go for this dog. Ain't nobody looking for this stuff. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna make no money off of it. Nothing.
Right. I feel what you're saying, dude. You know what? You got a good point. I may not make a dime off of this, but that's not the point. You know what I'm saying? This is kind of like telling the pastor not to preach the sermon because, you know what I'm saying, the congregation may not give that Sunday. And it's just kind of like, man, the point of it is that I got the truth. You know what I'm saying? It's not a truth. It's not what I deem to be a truth. It's the truth. And I got the gospel, man, and it's what people need. And so it's my responsibility as a believer to put it out there regardless of if I make a dime off of it or if anybody copped the album. You know what I'm saying? So it's the Great Commission. So be it.
All right. And this is what we need to take in light in regards of our relationships. We really need to get bold in our relationships and say, you know, listen. I'm a Christian. My relationship needs to be consecrated. So be it. Now, you can say whatever you want to say, but I know that where I stand, I'm a Christian, and my relationship needs to be consecrated, and so be it. And this is what we need to stand on. And we know that we know who that is, and that is Jesus and his word. So, here is the thing. Why consecration works from the heart out to the behavior rather than being another form of behavioral modification. If you're asking that question, why consecration works from the heart out to the behavior rather than being another form of behavioral modification. Okay? And of course, if you've been listening since the beginning of the broadcast and you've been listening, you've been really listening, this is, you know, an answer you should already have at the tip of your tongue, because basically I've already answered it. But consecration can be mistaken, depending on who's looking at it, as behavioral modification. Oftentimes, people in a church service, or people who are charged with the presence of God, as far as bringing in the atmosphere, will sometimes rashly make promises to God to change or remove habits, without first dealing with the heart that produces those behaviors. Think back to New Year's when 2016 came in. You may have been one of those Christians who you were on Facebook and you New Year's resolution. I'm making a resolution. And the reason why resolutions don't work for most people, not even Christians, is because it's not really a resolution. You're making a promise. You're making a promise to bring about behavioral modification. What you really want when you say, you know, I'm going to make this resolution, this New Year's resolution, and in your mind, you may be thinking consecration, but in actuality, for most people, it's a behavioral modification. Sort of like when you're trying to lose weight, you know, and you go on all these different types of weight loss plans and so on, and nothing works, and you work out, nothing works, and you're still eating, and nothing works, and you're still eating some more, and nothing works, and it's behavioral modifications. So in a lot of minds, people vow to stop doing certain behaviors and adopt better ones. In marriage, there may be things going on in the marriage that are not sound. In your single life, there may be things going on in your single life regarding date, not meeting the right people, that are not sound. In your whatever tactic, whatever thing that you're doing, you may not be doing anything, and that right there may be an issue of why you're not meeting anybody. But in your mind, you're vowing to stop doing certain behaviors and adapt better ones to bring about a better outcome. This is all going on in your mind. This is behavioral modification, but this is not consecration. Now, granted, there may be a couple folks, and they may call it rededication or recommitment, and you see them going down to the altar, and they're rededicating. Even for those who may rededicate their lives to Christ, we have some churches out there. Pastors said, "Come on down with those of you who are already saved, and you want to rededicate your life to Christ." You know what I'm talking about, right? Right? You heard of that, right? And no matter how of good intent that is in your heart, without you making a promise, when whatever word, however you want to word it, rededication, recommitment, however the way the pastor wants to word it, think, I'm moving it over to the church here, to a church scenery from marriage and single life, but you could very well be walking down you and your spouse and say, "Listen, I want to rededicate this marriage," or, you know, whatever the case may be. None of that is going to work unless you understand what consecration is. Because if you don't understand what consecration is, it's going to be if you don't get anything, get this. If you don't understand what consecration is and you go about something like this, it's always going to be behavioral modification. If you don't understand what consecration is and you go about something like this, it's always to improve relationships, single life, married life, family life on down the block. It's always going to be behavioral modification if you don't understand what consecration is. And a lot of times, once again, in relationships, I gave the example, you may be trying to lose weight, you know, trying to turn around a certain aspect in your life. Maybe you're a Christian single and you have issues in your life that are keeping you from getting married, you know, and you're trying to resolve those issues, but it's not working, and you're taking on different tactics and different blueprints on how to get rid of whatever it is you need to get rid of, so you can move to the next stage of relationship, which is marriage, and it's not because you're in a stage of behavioral modification. Consecration, grace motivated, not by your strength, by the Lord's strength. Consecration is the only thing that's going to keep you out of the mess that you're trying to get out of and keep you out of it, period. Unless you just decide you just want to be willful and fall back into it. But if you don't, you truly hate whatever sin that's going on in your life and it's hurting your relationships, it's hurting your marriage, behavioral modification is not going to work. You have to truly, truly come back to the root of even who you are as a Christian. And that's always going to take you back to Jesus. It's always going to take you back to his word. It's always going to take you back to things like prayer, to things like repentance, to things like seek the kingdom of God first, to things like submission, to things like obedience. And these are things that we talk about, you know, on and off on our, you know, during our radio broadcast we bring to the internet here. But this is no silver bullet, because your situation may be different from mine. But surely behavioral modification is not going to do you or me any good. There has to be that super glue. There has to be that Jesus glue. There has to be something stronger than just us modifying our behavior in marriage. There has to be something stronger than just me modifying my behavior. Because modifying my behavior without Jesus, without biblical love, your behavior sooner or later is going to fall off. And you're going to be back into the same situation in your marriage and that same situation in your single life, frustrated all over again. Why? Because mankind does not naturally gravitate to Jesus. We naturally gravitate our sinful nature that we live in, right? Mankind naturally, without Jesus, we will naturally gravitate to sin. Behavioral modification does not naturally gravitate to holiness and sacredness. Behavioral modification is a patch up. I'm just going to patch it up for right now. It's like pouring new wine in the old wineskin. It's going to burst. So understanding consecration is good. Okay, so once again, consecration can be mistaken by a lot of people as some type of behavioral modification, but it's not. Unless we are beginning with God's saying, and I put a post up on Facebook, I believe a couple days ago, of what I'm about to say right now. I don't know if anybody caught it. Unless we are beginning with God's sanctifying work already operative in the heart, our rededication and recommitments will lead to legalism and failure in our relationships. And I'm going to say this again. Whenever you hear the word rededication and recommitment, if your rededication and your recommitment, it doesn't have to be New Year's either. If your rededication and your recommitment to your single walk or your marriage restoration, if it does not include biblical consecration, then your rededication and your recommitment is nothing more than behavioral modification. You follow me? And rededication and recommitment in relationships, because you see something that's wrong, something that's sour, that's something that's sinful, and you're trying to correct it, and you're saying, I'm going to rededicate this, or I'm going to recommit this, doing that without biblical consecration will patch up that relationship with behavioral modification, which will naturally lead back to the issue at hand, to the sourness at hand, to the sin at hand, because we don't naturally, as human beings, we don't naturally lead towards holiness and sacredness. We naturally, unless we bring God in it, we naturally will revert back to sinful ways. So rededication and recommitment is nothing without Jesus. Rededication and recommitment is nothing without the biblical root and understanding of consecration. Otherwise, it is just behavioral modification that sways back to sin because of our sinful nature. That's why we need to stop that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay. So sanctification is a two-sided coin. It's a me and a God thing. I said sanctification, not consecration. I'm talking about sanctification now. Okay? Sanctification is a two-sided coin, a me and a God thing. And you say, well, Darren, how'd you get from consecration to sanctification in like 1 second? Okay, well, just keep listening. Sanctification is a two-sided coin. Sanctification, on one side of the coin, is you can see yourself, and on the other side of the coin, you can see God. Remember when I was talking about consecration and I was saying how if I gave a Christian couple $1 million and they smiled, and I gave a worldly couple $1 million and they smiled, and on the outward, they both walked around in this world, and you see both of them. You don't know they had $1 million, right? But you just see both of them smiling, right? You would think that both of them, wow, I don't know which one I want to imitate more, that relationship or that relationship, because they both smiling. But they both smiling for different reasons. One of them is smiling for greed, selfishness, and covetousness. Another one is smiling for blessings, and they about to plant a seed in the kingdom and reap some reward. Okay, so sanctification works the same way. Two-sided coin. It's a me and a God thing. In sanctification, we have God working in us His perfect and pleasing will, while at the same time we are opening ourselves in response to His work by working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's Philippians 2. Okay, so we have the God part, sanctification. God is working in us His perfect and pleasing will. Okay, Philippians 2. Now, and now we have sanctification, whereas though there's trouble in our marriage, in our single life regarding relationships, and we try to patch that up with recommitment and recommitment and rededication and remodification, and those things don't have biblical root. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we get to the point where we don't use God's direction. We use our own direction. And it looks to seem like our relationship is like whatever thing that we're using is working, but in actuality it's not. And then we look at it and we say, oh, well, that's sanctification because it looks like it's working. Because remember, the devil can imitate stuff too. Okay, there's a whole lot of people walking around here in relationships that are rich, and that money was sent to them by the devil. Okay, the devil comes as the angel of light. He masquerades as the angel of light. So just because you see a relationship looks like light doesn't necessarily mean that that light is from God. Scripture says the devil masquerades as the angel of light. So whatever tactic that you may use to patch up that illness that's going on in your marriage or single life regarding relationships, you got to be careful, because if it's not coming from directly from the root of God's word, then you may fool yourself and say, okay, well, I did something on my own, and it seems as though it's coming about good. I see good stuff coming about it, so it's working. No, it ain't. Because if none of that is connected to Jesus, you're fooling yourself. You're masquerading yourself. And sooner or later, it will fall. And then you're going to be right back to square one, and you know you're going to be saying to yourself, geez, I should have did the right thing from Jump Street, and that's dive into God's word and consecrate what the trouble is in my relationship, consecrate God's word, you know, over that, the blood of Jesus over that, His word over that, His promises over that, over that, over that, over that, to seal that crack. So sanctification is a two-sided coin. It's me and it's a God thing. You want to go with God. Sanctification, God working in us his perfect and pleasing will, while at the same time we're opening up ourselves in response to his holy work. That's the us positive part. I gave you the us negative part, meaning going about our own ways. This is why the Bible says, you know, Christ is our path. He's our light. We lean unto his understanding, not our own. Okay? So we don't want to lean into our own understanding to try to seal the cracks in our relationships, and then it seems as though it's working, and we say, oh, that it's working, and that's the negative sanctification. Really, it's not even sanctification, but we may look at it that way. We may call it sanctification because we see that it starts to look like it's working, but it's not if God is not involved. So true consecration, I'm going back to consecration, true consecration, because the consecration and sanctification are working hand in hand. They're working hand in hand. True consecration begins with an acknowledgement of a transforming work of grace. Remember when I said in the very beginning of the broadcast, okay, is it grace-motivated or is it behavioral modification? Is it grace-motivated or is it behavioral modification? Which one is it? True consecration begins with an acknowledgement of a transforming work of grace in the heart, leading, this is the manifestation, to conforming attitudes and behaviors that are equally yoked with the Lord, consecrated with the Lord. So the biblical word consecration is more helpful, or should I say it's a more helpful word than merely rededication, since the heart and behaviors, and not the behaviors by themselves, defines the aim of consecration. Let me say this again. True consecration begins with an acknowledgement of a transforming work of grace in the heart. Okay, if you haven't picked anything else up so far in this almost hour and a half, I'm saying certain things over and over and over again because you can't get to none of this stuff that I'm talking about unless you get first to certain things. You have to start from the heart. You have to start with repentance. You have to start with love. You have to start as a Christian. These are the things. You can't get to none of this stuff that I'm talking about as far as sealing cracks up in your relationships, marriage or single life, if you can't get with none of these. You have to be Christian. You have to come with repentance. You have to come with the heart, not with your intellect and your degree and your friends and all the rest. You have to come with certain things for this to work. You just can't walk into this. And this involves you being submissive and humble. This will teach you. Being submissive and humble to God will teach you how to be submissive and humble to him in your single life, and will teach you how to be submissive and humble to him in your marriage life. You'll already know how to do that in your marriage life because you've been doing it in your single life, but now you'll be prepared to be submissive to your spouse. I don't want to go off topic with this, but that's how that's going to pan out. So the biblical word consecration is more of a helpful word than rededication, since the heart and behaviors, and not just the behaviors by themselves, defines the aim of consecration. Okay, I hope somebody got that. Okay. All right. Time and time again, the Bible reminds us that our marriages are pictures of what the Lord desires to have with his people in terms of what? Equally yoked, oneness, closeness, loving trust. Okay? Ephesians 5. All right? To consecrate our marriages means for husbands and wives, with consecrated hearts. To consecrate our marriages means for husband and for wife, with consecrated hearts. It means to make that marriage, it means to make the marriage's interests to match God's interests. Now, I can take this right here and do another two-hour broadcast just by itself. Why? Because there's a whole lot of things that are wrong, not with what I just said, but that are wrong with what comes, what goes out into marriage that's opposite of what I just said. And folks, like you know it, but it just doesn't register after the I do. To consecrate our marriages for a husband and wife with consecrated hearts, let's stop here. You can't have a consecrated, remember, we said this in the first hour, you can't have a consecrated relationship unless you have love. So a consecrated heart means that you have to have love. If you're in a point right now in your relationships where you're talking about, I done fell out of love, you know, you heard that before. Oh, I just done fell out of love. That's why I'm divorced. I done fell out of love. No, you didn't fall out of love. You forgot what consecration is. Because if you fell out of love, that means that after you got divorced, you wouldn't have love for nobody else ever again. Not even God. If you just fell out of love, if love just like escaped your whole reality. So you didn't fall out of love. You just forgot what consecration is. And then in forgetting what consecration is, somewhere along the line, was step two, you forgot to keep that marriage sacred and holy from the other mess. Now, sometimes the other mess is not what Sally and Sue running around who are married, sleeping around with each other in the church, and pastors such and such doing it. Sometimes the mess is right in our whole household. Sometimes the mess is us. So to consecrate marriage for husband and wife, starting with a consecrated heart of love. If you have a consecrated heart of love, that implies, because love is saying that if you are consecrated to me, then that means you should be keeping this relationship sacred and holy from other folks that are running around doing mess. That's what love is saying. Now, what are you saying? Okay, so with consecrated hearts, to make the marriage interest to match God's. See, this is the second thing that goes wrong. Folks get married, they got love, they try to keep their marriage out of all the other mess that's going on around, all the other marriage messes, the marriages that have mess, keeping their marriage, keeping your marriage away from all that other mess and those messes. Okay, and that's good. While doing this, your interest is not God's interest anymore. Okay? It's not God's interest anymore. And this is where we've gone wrong. Consecrating self in marriage has to be constantly filled with love. It has to be constantly protected, set apart from other marriages and relationships that would influence mess in ours and yours. And then God's interest, the interest of God has always has to, the interest of your marriage has always have to be equally yoked with the interest of God. If you can keep that, those things on track and stay away from behavioral modification, you're on your way. That's it. God bless you. We'll see you again on the LATR Radio Network.
would defeat the purpose. It took me a while, but now I'm learning the lesson. The word of God, it stands firm in the heavens. It's more permanent than the firmament. And if you ain't discerning it, then you in for heavy turbulence. The Holy Spirit keeps the furnace lit. Thank you for granting us repentance. We fully acknowledge our dependence on you as we take your word to the streets with the vengeance. Cause cats come into this world serving the death sentence. Crime rate, evidence of a depraved mind state. Cause sin got them hypnotized like chloral hydrate. They're high off of opiates. Grimy associates procreate inside a kaleidoscope of hate. We inundated with vivid imageries of obscenities that left infiltrated ministries obliterated. But my God won't stop until sin's eliminated. On that day, the hardest thug will shake intimidated. And surely as a popular TV series that's indicated, through the resurrection, Christ's claims were vindicated. While philosophers analyze it and then debate it, a five-year-old can see that's what the scriptures indicated. Asking if God is responsible for all things created is similar to asking, are those twins related? I've been elated ever since my hard heart was penetrated. By the grace of God, I've been regenerated. The second coming of Christ, that's a locked bet. So until then, I got my clock set to not yet. My God can take a scandalous cat, passing out crack, turn him into an evangelist that's passing out crack. Me without Christ, that's like playing Scrabble without a brain. A battle without pain. Seattle without rain. While MCs cackle and shout, profane babble about cocaine, I brag about my God whose strength is Samson without Rogaine. We advance in his clout and domain, and his grace is enough to get me dancing without Soul Train. Jesus